You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
You're listening to the world's smartest podcast network.
When I go to Sacramento, I will pump up Sacramento. Sacramento. Sacramento.
Some say the news is fake. Others say it's real. These two don't have the time to check. Instead, Turner Sparks and Michael Ira Kaplan turn to comics stationed around the globe to be their eyewitness reporters so that you can know what's really going on. This is Lost in America.
All right, everybody, welcome to Lost in America, episode 264. My name's Turner Sparks.
And I am Michael Kaplan.
You can find me at turnersparks.com. I'm on the road this week. I'm in Las Vegas, Nevada. Next week, Reno, Nevada. And I'm at the Tropicana here in Las Vegas. And then after that, I'm in Australia for 3 weeks, Sydney and Melbourne. Check me out. Melbourne. I don't know how they pronounce it. We're going to have to figure out when I get there. Kaplan, you can find him at all social media platforms at Cap in America. Kaplan, on the podcast today, we're talking about Poland and their involvement in this whole Ukraine-Russia thing and the refugees that are flooding into Poland and how they're handling that, what's going on there, and also, if we have World War III, will it be hosted by Poland? Before we get to that, Kaplan, this show is totally free. I can't believe we're still giving it out for free.
We're the biggest suckers in all of podcast land.
Insane. 5 years, top quality content. You've never paid a dime for it. Well, now's the time to pay for $5 a month. Just support us. $5 a month, and we can continue putting on this podcast. I can continue my vacations to Mexico and Australia. Although those
the world burns,
trips.
You could go to Mexico. Well, you
it's
did do
tax
a show.
Time. So. Those are business trips. Those are business trips. But for $5 a month, go to patreon.com/lostinamerica. $5 a month. We ask you for the money, but we're also giving you something for that money. 3 extra episodes a week of me and Kaplan doing our full throttle comedy podcast live from the bunker.
Yeah, we do a full throttle show. And then for $10 a month, right, you get not only that show, but you can get a piece of merch. You can get this Lost in America mug, if you like, which is number one in Armenia.
We know you're famously.
Recently, we know you like we went to number one again last week. But anyway, you get a T-shirt. So, that's a great deal. For $20 a month, we will read any copy you send us.
You get your own advertisement on this show for $20 a month. And I got to tell you, Kaplan, our numbers have been soaring recently. And just between you, me and the lamppost, the regular advertisers are paying a lot more than this to do an ad on our
tell
podcast.
Them.
So
do
hopefully they don't
them.
Listen.
Because what if we get one of their competitors?
What if like Magic Spoon just became our Patreon subscriber, so they could get loophole into this?
I would have great respect for Magic Spoon if they did that.
For $20 a month, we will say whatever you want. The great Will Prechuk, who's one of our top Patreon subscriber, he needs to send us ad copy. We saw him last weekend at my album recording.
Saw him at your show, yeah, great
at the Friars Club. But he's got an ad coming. We need your ad. All right, now
deadline.
Let's move on to this show. So We have our guest is coming up in just a second, but let's start by what do you know about this topic? You know, in the West, what we're reading, what we're getting in the news is that Poland used to be this, I don't know if it's right wing by our standards or dictator. I don't know if a dictator is the right word, but they were a tough government, right? That didn't get along so much with the EU and with the West, but now they've turned babyface. And they're the ones. It's a wrestling. It's an old wrestling term. And they're the ones that are now bringing in people from. They're bringing in the refugees, the Ukrainian refugees,
the people. Yes.
And the government, I guess, is they're the government's getting championed across the world. They're the new darlings of the world. Well, and everyone says, "Wow, how good are they? That they're such good people now. They're bringing it. They're letting these refugees come and live in their country." And they're saving the world. Cap, go
ahead. Well, yeah. Well, as you said, the media in this case is us, because we did a podcast about Poland several months ago about the right wing government, because there was an issue within, you know, making abortion illegal, I think, in some instances and some other things. And we made it, you know, but as Misha Kalin told us last week, he said, yes, they lean right on some issues socially, but it's still democracy. It's still Europe. So I think that, but that's what piqued our interest.
Were we fake news a year ago?
That's why I wanted to do the story. Cause I was like, did we fake news? Were we guilty? Everyone makes a mistake. Everyone. So I went stubs a toe. So is Poland actually this great bastion of,
we had gone 5 years without a mistake. So maybe that was our first one is we wrongfully, painted Poland, the Polish government as fascist or something. Yeah. I don't know what we did.
Fourth largest refugee population right now in the world. I believe I read.
So now everyone loves them and they're the heroes.
Darlings.
And so we thought, hey, let's get a Polish. Can this be true? Are they really the heroes of the world? How are they doing? And will they soon be hosting World War III? So we thought, let's get a Polish comedian on to
it's
tell
like the
us
Olympics. Who gets to host it? Yeah.
What's going on? Straight from Poland, we have Cezary Jurkiewicz. And I hope I pronounced that. Welcome to the show, mate. So Cezary Jurkiewicz has performed at Second City in Chicago. He's performed all over the world doing stand-up comedy in the United States, Hungary, Malaysia at the Crack House Comedy Club. We were just talking off air about that. I performed there. And of course, in his home country of Poland. You can check him out on YouTube. Go look up his clips. They're in Polish, but it's still fun to watch stand-up in another language. Cezary, welcome to the show, man. How you doing?
Hey, I'm good. How are you, man?
Pretty good. So what did we, first of all, where are you in Poland?
I'm staying in Warsaw right now.
Are you in Warsaw?
I live here, actually. I'm staying here.
Okay, great.
Staying where he lives.
And what did we get right? Is the government, are they, everyone loves them now. Is that the correct idea? Is that the correct move?
Well, I don't think much has changed. Like, they're still very, very right wing and they're authoritarian leaning. And
they are authoritarian leaning.
Look at that. Yeah, no definitely. Fake news for us then.
So we
never
right.
made a mistake. Our record continues.
I mean, I don't think they are fascist, but they are like friends with fascists. So I don't know.
Friends with fascists is different than being fascist.
Good people on both sides, they say.
I mean, I'm not an alcoholic, but many of my friends are. So I go drinking, but
something like that. So, you know, and it's a tough thing. Like, they're trying to like seem like good people right now, that they're hoping like we invite refugees to the country. But not long ago, like a few months ago, we had a situation where there were like a lot of people from the Middle West, like refugees
from
trying
Belarus,
to get to Poland.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they didn't let them in because I think they're racist. And I'll prove my point in a moment. So it was a deeper problem because like Lukashenko, the dictator of Belarus, he was trying to like swarm the Europe with like a lot of refugees and people from the Middle East. And basically, like Europe isn't racist, but when there's like a lot of people coming from like the Middle East. So then in the countries, in the polls, like far right parties are leading and winning the elections. And that's what the dictators want. They want Europe to be divided. So the countries can't communicate because of like right wing, governments. So basically that was his plan. And he brought like a lot of refugees from the Middle East, and he tried to like get them in Europe, and like Poland closed the border. So yeah, it's a complex thing, but I think the racial motivation was quite strong, because I didn't feel like the Polish society like felt bad for those people who were trapped, because they were trapped. There was
so you're talking was- just to clear up. I think this involves us as well. I mean, this was started. I know what you're talking about. It was in September of last year when America we left Afghanistan. And all these, I was involved in trying to help some Afghan comedian get out of Afghanistan. He eventually did get out of Afghanistan. But all these Afghanis were trying to figure out where to go. Should I go to, you know, all these countries were maybe letting them in, maybe not. But a lot of countries were not letting Afghan refugees in. So Lukashenko, the dictator of Poland, who might be the most evil man on planet Earth. Sorry, of Belarus, who might be the most evil man on planet Earth, told the Afghanis, hey, come to Belarus. I'll let you live here. And then when they got to Belarus, he put them on a bus and sent them to the Polish border to sit and just dropped them off and said, hey, now go into Poland because Poland's part of the EU and let the EU take you. He was just trying to cause problems, and he was using these humans as pawns in his game to mess with European Union.
And I think even other countries too, right? Not even just Afghanistan. Wasn't he just, it was crazy.
Maybe, but it was a lot of Afghanistan. Yeah. And so he was trying to just ruffle the feathers, trying to poke the bear of the European Union. And he did it by pushing people to Poland. And as you said, the Polish government said, no, we're not letting you in. So now these Afghani people were just stuck without a home on the border of Belarus and Poland.
In a small confined space, because on one hand, there was like the Polish army, and on the other hand, there was the Belarus army, and they couldn't go either way because they could not go back into Belarus. And it was a humanitarian crisis because like it was cold, it was November. Like people got sick, like hungry, like some people died from cold and stuff. And I didn't see such compassion towards refugees back then, like right now. And I'm almost sure that is because of like skin color. Like the Minister of Internal Affairs, Mariusz Kamiński, he had a conference where he said that they don't want to let those people in because they spread diseases. And they do bestiality.
Maybe bestiality.
Yeah, that's what he said. And then he showed a video of a guy having sex with a cow, and he showed that video on his phone.
Of a guy somewhere having sex with a cow. One guy.
Yeah. And that was proof. Like
that was a government official that did that.
Yeah. That's what happened.
Yikes. So
yeah.
And what about, because so we always, I want to separate the people from the government in this conversation. So the government, you thought, this is race-based. They didn't want the Afghan refugees in, but now they'll let the Ukrainians in. How were the, was it the same with the people or like the general public, I guess?
I felt that the general public tried like not to think about it.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And even it's tough because when I talk to my friends, I think they're liberal. They're not too keen on the idea of like getting too much people from the Middle East to the country.
NIMBY, like, Kaplan.
Well, yeah.
We have a term in America.
Not in my backyard.
Called a NIMBY, which means yes, I want this. Yes, I want to support help those refugees. People. But I don't, not in my back. I don't want them here. Not in my backyard. Just send them somewhere else and I support. But I don't want them coming here. So that is a version of liberalism in the United States as well.
Yeah. But I guess the equation, the Ukrainians, though, there are a lot of Ukrainians already living right in Poland. So it's a little different. Yeah. They don't have to. It doesn't seem like a foreigner to them, right? Is that the difference?
Before we move on, actually, just how did that end with the Afghanis and the border?
Well, at one point, like Lukashenko gave up and he started sending those people back. But he actually made a campaign where in the Middle East that he was like telling people in the Middle East, "Hey, come to Belarus." So
he took people from Yemen, I think. I remember reading
baiting them to come.
He was baiting them, promising them. Yeah.
tricking them. So he eventually did send them back. Okay, so moving on. So that was that. That was 6 months ago. And now, fast forward 6 months, Ukraine has this is getting attacked by Russia. And one, as of, I mean, the last I saw, report I saw was March 12th, but they said at that point, estimated 1.3 million Ukrainians had come into Poland and been welcomed in. And as Kaplan said, there is a big Ukrainian population in Poland. So where are these people staying? Are they staying with relatives? Or are they staying in camps? Or how are they being housed?
So basically, there are refugee points where they're staying like for a while, and a lot of people are organizing private help, not by the government, but private help to help them. And a lot of people invited Ukrainians to their homes. Some people had just friends in Ukraine, so it was normal for them to like have them over.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of situations where people are hosting like people they don't know from Ukraine, just, you know, to be helpful. And I think that like the Polish society felt that because first of all, it's really close to us. Like it's just behind the border. Culturally, the people are very similar to us. And we felt it felt like a hazard to us also, because historically, like Poland had like a lot of bad vibes with Russia. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So we were basically Poland.
Yada yada yada.
Poland was occupied by Russia for like, I don't remember, 100 years or 200 years or something.
Oh really?
Like that.
When was that?
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
I think it was Stalin. Between the 18th century until. It was between 1779, I think, up until
1918. Okay, got it. Yeah. So okay. You find, and is there a similar, are the languages at all similar between Polish and Ukrainian language?
It's different, but it is possible to talk to a Ukrainian person when I'm speaking Polish and someone speaking Korean, there is a possibility that we understand each other.
Okay. So there's a closeness because you share a border and I'm sure there's cultural things that go back and forth. Yeah. And so in this case, again, separating the people from the government, you've talked a lot about the people helping and privately letting people into their homes and all that stuff. Is the government equally as welcoming to the Ukrainian refugees?
Well, the government is doing something. Like most of the help comes from private organizations, but the government, what they did, they gave social security numbers to Ukrainian refugees so they can like be part of society and stuff.
Wow,
which is kind of cool. But again, like in the bill, they wrote specifically like six times that only Ukrainian citizens. So basically, when there were situations where there was a guy from Nigeria studying in Lviv.
In Ukraine.
So, and first of all, he had problems like crossing the border because he's black. And then he won't get a social security number, although he's also a, you know, war refugee.
Oh,
and they're giving the people benefits of those numbers, right? Like they're giving them like a stipend which is something. That
oh,
I
wow.
Think
so
we do.
if you are one of these refugees, you get like welfare, essentially. You get money and or
can
food
you imagine if they did that in America, Turner?
It's not exactly welfare, but I think that they would get help in a hospital like that. Like they have medical insurance or something like that.
Okay.
Crazy.
They're giving social security to people who are helping Ukrainians. They get some money.
Oh, so Polish people who bring people in also can get money.
Yeah.
I wonder if people are going to take advantage of that. But anyway.
And is the idea being, is this going to be a long term? Like, has anyone talked about like what if Russia just takes over Ukraine? I mean, is this a forever thing? Like the people can stay forever, or is this like, hey, they can stay about a month, and hey, if you guys don't finish that war in a month, you know, we got to send you on.
Well, that's interesting. We don't know what's gonna happen and what's going around their minds. I I think like the theory is that Russia thought that that war is going to last for 2 days, and they were really, really wrong.
Yeah.
And right now they don't want to like push back because they don't want to seem weak because, you know, it's a testosterone filled authoritarian country.
Yeah. And a lot of steroids in that man.
A lot of steroids. And yeah, we'll see. Like some people are afraid in Poland that like Russia might attack Poland, but I don't think that's the case. Like I heard my friends going, oh, I'm going to like run away to Uruguay or somewhere. And I'm like, yeah, that's, I think when they would attack Poland, it's because we have like USA soldiers and soldiers from the US in Poland, right?
Yeah.
So there would be a situation where Russian and American soldiers would be shooting to each other, and that didn't happen in history.
No, the Cold War went by without that happening, right?
Yeah. So basically, that's not a good thing. Like that might cause something like a nuclear war or something like that. So there is no point to travel anywhere at that point.
Uruguay will get nuked too.
I mean, you'll just be a little bit less deformed.
The whole world, there'll be nuks going off all over the world.
Yeah,
nowhere to hide.
That's why I become our.
I never even thought about that. That we've never actually, Americans have never just been, because it's happened so many times in movies.
Yeah.
That I forgot it's never happened in real life. You know, Top Gun. I mean, we didn't name them, but those were Russians in the sky that our guys were shooting at. So many of these movies. I mean, you got Rocky IV.
Top Gun.
Yeah,
Rocky IV. That was they made peace though. We need a new Rocky movie. Your stat.
But my point is, I never even considered the fact that they've never actually been shooting against each other and are shooting at each other. So do you think, so you don't, in Poland, do you feel a level of protection because of the fact that you're part of NATO? And as we've talked about on this podcast many times, if Russia attacks NATO, I mean, attacks you, then America, we are contractually obligated to defend you. And so are so many countries, any country that's in NATO. I mean, it's like World War III begins. I believe the second that Russia drops a bomb on Poland.
Yeah, I believe that. Some Polish people don't believe that because when there was the Second World War and Polish got attacked, that then no one helped her. But back then we weren't in a military organization. So it's different.
Yeah, and back then we didn't. I mean, frankly, I don't know if the United States was still like a. We weren't like kind of World War II.
We weren't involved when Poland, when Germany went into Poland. We weren't even involved in the war yet. So
yeah, we weren't even in the war. I think that's going a little far back in history. I think this time it would happen. So you feel safe, but not everyone does. Is that kind of how it is?
Yeah, I think so.
And what about? Do you know anyone who's taken in refugees?
Actually, no. I know a lot of people that went to the border to like help them get to the center of Poland. I know a few people who tried to do that, and with success.
Give them rides, or
just gave them rides. It was just they were going to the border and back to the center of Poland. My parents will probably are planning to bring home some Ukrainian family, but they're old. They cannot like initiate that by themselves, but they're open to it because they got a big house.
Yeah.
And they're planning to. What else? Oh, there were situations where before Russia banned Instagram, I don't know when that happened. That happened yesterday, I think.
Oh, wow. Like, we were so big in Instagram there. Our Lost in America pod was huge in Russia before that. Gone.
Yeah, and so basically a lot of people tried to get information about the war to Russia because the Russian society doesn't know what's happening. They have like different they hear a different story from the media, from the propaganda too.
Yeah, what do you know? I mean, I know you're not in Russia, you're in Poland, but do you know what they hear?
Well, they hear it's a military operation. They don't call it a war, and that they are told that Nazis took over Ukraine, and Russia is trying to denazify Ukraine, and There's some weird things. Like, for example, there was a video of a guy, a Ukrainian guy, who was giving her daughter for the board because, like, men from the year 18 to 60, they cannot leave Ukraine right now.
Yeah.
So basically, they have to stay and fight. He like gave her daughter like through the border, and it was like a touching moment and stuff. So basically, the Russian TV showed the same video, and they told that it's a Russian guy giving her daughter through the Russian border.
Oh,
so yeah, that's
the guy's
that's
Russian.
What, yes, so it's not even like it's just total. It's just straight up lying.
That's just
as opposed to, you know, I've lived in, there's been places where I've lived before where they manipulate the news. I can't say where I've been.
Miami, University of Miami.
Yes, where they manipulate the news. But the way they do it, and it's the way, frankly, we do it in America as well, is you don't straight up lie. You just amplify the news that's more for your side and don't talk about the news that says something bad about your side. But this idea of just straight up lying is like, yeah, I feel like that's a new level.
That's like, we have like a very strong manipulation in the Polish media, for example, because right now we have a right-wing government and public media, and there's this guy on the other side in the opposition. He's a liberal. He's called Donald Tusk, and they hate him. They straight up hate him. So basically, when they showed him in TV, they did a red filter, so he seems more devilish.
Really?
Yeah, they actually
on the official like state TV or like what?
Yep,
like,
yep.
They can do, wow.
So I had read, speaking of this media stuff, I had read that Russian what do you call it, online propaganda networks or trolls or whatever the thing is, are trying to get into Poland to sway the public. Do you see any of that, whether it's on TV or online? And do you see anyone falling for it in Poland? Is anyone, are any Polish people? Because I know it's actually working in Brooklyn, where I live. I was at a show the other day, and the comedian on stage was talking about how all these Nazis are in Ukraine. And
it was not a bit. We should specify this.
We need, no. And he was just giving like, he was talking about how we need to stop supporting Ukraine because they're all Nazis. So,
no way.
There's a far left version of world in Brooklyn, New York, of these like super left, far left comedians who are believing the Russian propaganda. Now, I should say I went back to Manhattan an hour after that and talked about on stage how crazy these comedians were in Brooklyn, and everyone was still on my side. So it's not affecting most of us, but there are some real idiots out there.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah.
So I think some people are falling for that. We have like a lot of communication about like beware of Russian trolls and like false fake news. But I think like the most, how do you say it? They are fascists. There is this party called Konfederacja, and basically they're like the most right wing thing you can imagine in Poland. And a lot of those people like believe the Russian point of view.
Well, we have those people too. So we also have the far right who is also pro-Russia, but that's just because they like Putin.
They just think Putin's super competent. They really respect that he's anti-woke. They like that he's not woke.
And he's like a strong man. They like that he's muscular.
Strong man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we have the far right, like Putin, and then the far left think that Ukrainians are all Nazis.
And they also think America's always the devil.
And they think America's the worst place on earth. So those they actually agree when you go all the way around. Yeah.
Yeah, because Putin is right wing when you think about it. He's like anti-gay, pro-church, and
of course. But he's also a dictator.
He also longs for a Soviet Union days, which is not usually in line with right wing thought. But
he's a dictator. Like I try to separate between, there are just right wing people who get elected, and then there's dictators, and there's also left wing. Fidel Castro was a dictator on the left. Mm. I think dictators should be its own category. We should have politicians, and those are right wing and left wing. And then you have dictators who are just like, whatever, I'll kill whoever I have to kill to stay in power. Yeah. And if that happens to be someone on the right, which makes me left wing, fine. If it happens to be the other side, fine. You know?
Yeah, I agree. But some people who are right wing, like they look at the point of views of Vladimir Putin, for example, and they agree with him. For example, when there's the prime minister of Hungary, he's totally pro Putin. He actually likes him. And he's I think he's his friend. And so when there were sanctions, we wanted to do some more sanctions on Russia, like the European Union. Like I think it was banning gas. So we won't take any more like fuel from Russia because a lot of it we take from Russia.
Yeah.
And he said that he was the only one who didn't agree to that.
Yeah. And then eventually he went around, right? Or Europe in general has really, like, I don't think Putin ever expected to get this much financial blowback this quickly.
Yeah. Europe. Oh yeah. So they bankrupted. But my point being, I do believe that, but I can't prove it because it's a theory. Like, the Polish government doesn't like Russia, but it's because of the historical context. But I believe if there was no, like, as I said, bad vibes in the past, then I do believe that our government would also be like more pro-Russia.
Well, right. I want to talk about that, but first we got to take a break. So I want to find out, because your government had this very interesting choice to make recently where it's, well, either go pro-Russia, I mean, when this war breaks out, and especially if they're right-wing, either side with Putin or side with the West. And they kind of had to pick, and I want to get into that decision in just a second. But before that, Kaplan, let's pay the bills. We're part of the world's smartest podcast network. That is the Political Orphanage with Andrew Heaton.
Professor Heaton is
Majoring in Everything with Dr. Andrea Jones Roy. And that is us, Lost in America. And Kaplan, I'm going to tell you off air. I think I might have said this last week, but I have an idea possibly to add a new one to the show. So we'll see. Oh,
we're expanding. I like
we
it.
Might be
it's like NATO
soon.
Expansion. It's so very everyone
and
wants
of course,
to join.
We are Lost in America. This is the place where entertainment, information, and comedy converge, Kaplan. And that's what
brains.
You get out of all of our shows. Go to worldsmartestpodcastnetwork.com and get smart today. Kaplan. And now a word from your local sponsor. All right, we're back.
Thank you, sponsors.
Thank you very much. So now, Cezary, getting back to this idea, the Polish government, you're now, I almost feel like Poland currently is the center of the world in the sense that, well, the center of the few, I guess Ukraine would currently be the center of the world where everything's actually happening, but Poland is where it's all being staged, meaning that you find yourself in this position where the United States, if we want to send in military weapons or anything to Ukraine, we first get them to Poland and then they get driven in on a train or something, however they get there. And that's not just us. That's anyone in the world. If anyone wants the world wants to get something into Ukraine, they first get to Poland. Are you just living in Poland right now? Are you feeling that? Do you feel the presence of all these different countries currently in Poland?
No, not at all. I don't think so. But,
really?
No, I didn't feel it actually. I know. I mean, it's a tough thing because there are some things that we cannot bring to the Ukraine. We cannot bring weapons. I mean, it's a controversial thing. There was a situation where we tried to like get them some. How do you say it? The fighting planes, the jets, some kind of jets, and. Like there was a talk in NATO and they were like, that's not a good idea because that's kind of NATO involvement.
Yes. So it was first you were it was between the United States and Poland trying to figure it out. Right. It was
we were going to give them to
Poland was then... going to we were going to give Poland F-16 fighter jets. And in exchange, Poland was going to give Ukraine their Poland's.
So
jets.
It wouldn't count as coming from us. Right. Because
so
we didn't want to piss off Russia
as coming from us. And this is all semantics and we're dancing around because no one wants to break some imaginary rule and then anger Putin. And so Putin drops a nuke on us. But also, doesn't Putin know that we're all supporting Ukraine? I mean,
he's got to see the buildings are all lit up blue and yellow in New York. He's got to know that. So, yeah.
What is he? Is it really? Would he really like, would that make a difference to him? If, well, there were jets that came in, but they weren't from the U.S. because they were from Poland. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I know what you mean, but I don't know. It's weird. It's really weird because we are leading an economical war with Russia, and they're okay with that.
You're right.
Which hurts like hell.
Yeah.
But they're not okay with shooting. Like there's the line, which is still weird because I don't know. I mean, of course, like shooting each other is worse, but still, like Russia is a bankrupt country right now. It was such an interesting
dance a week or two ago when we were trying to get Poland to send jets, and Poland was like, no, you send jets. And we were both kind of trying to sell out each other, being like, well, I don't want to be the one that gets nuked by Putin, so you do it. And then you guys were like, no, you do it. And we're like, no. And then I think no one did it eventually, right?
Mm. Yep.
And they don't have jets, which is a problem.
An interesting fact is that today I read that the prime minister of Poland and the dude that is actually the leader, like, because there is one dude called Jarosław Kaczyński, and he's leader of the party, and he's the dude that controls everything.
We talked about this a few months ago.
And actually, I was going to say, go back and listen to our previous Poland episode about a year ago. I don't know what number it is, but we talked about him extensively, 20, 30 minutes.
The puppet master, so to speak, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I have to check it out. So basically, he and the prime minister, they went to Kyiv today, to the capital of Ukraine, which is kind of crazy. And to the prime minister of Czech and the prime minister of Slovakia, I think.
Slovakia, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So they went, three of them, to show support from the European Union. And, that's a nice thing that they did. But I think they want to get support, but also that they're crazy that they did that, because it's like going to...
Go to the middle of a war zone.
Well, they all want to be like Zelensky. Everyone wants to prove that they're not scared, right? They want.
But
to, like,
what's the real reason for that? Are they going there to show Putin that the EU is, I guess, supporting Ukraine? I mean, when did Poland? I know Poland. Did Poland join the EU in 2004? Is that correct? Okay, and So I guess going back to this thing, was there ever a thought with the Polish government of, well, we need to pick it, like, Putin's coming for Ukraine. Should we be nice to him? Because otherwise he'll come for us. And then the other option is, or are we going to put all of our trust in NATO and the European Union, that if we're going to be anti-Putin and that's going to piss him off, but hopefully the whole world backs us. You know, it's like easy for me and Kaplan to sit at home in America and be like, well, we should do this and we should do this. But you guys are the ones that are actually right on the border of this war. So I'm sure it's a tougher decision. Was that debated in the general public in Poland? What side did
I don't think so. Like the public, most of the society of Poland wants to stay in the European Union. The government, not so much. Like, because they were like breaking laws, like, they got the judicial system under their control of the executive branch, which is like, we have basically have like a general prosecutor who picks judges, like shit like that happens.
That's not good.
No, that's not good at all.
It should be a separation.
And basically at one point, it was, I don't know, it started like a year or 2 years ago. The European Union told us that, listen, guys, when you joined us, we had a deal that you're going to be like a democratic country. And, you know, there is a division of power, like judicial, executive and legislature, and you don't have that anymore. So, like, we won't give you any money anymore, because like Poland got like a lot of money from the European Union. And so right now we didn't get like something like 70 billion, something like that. And the government was like, no, we won't change those laws. And at one point they were close. Actually, it was like a month ago that they were thinking like, maybe we should like let it go and get the money, because the economy isn't going well. There were a lot of lockdowns and stuff. So right now it's actually a comfortable situation, the situation with the refugees, because right now the prime minister, he actually said that to, I don't know what's her name, the Ursula von, you know, the person that leads the European Union.
Oh, I don't know her name.
We're not Kaplan. We're not that smart. We don't know. I know what she looks like, though. I saw her speak. But
don't worry about it. We know her.
Yeah, but bring in someone smarter.
You know
who
I'm talking about. So yeah. The Prime Minister of Poland told her, listen, like, we got all those refugees. Like, you can, like, give us the money. And we're cool, right?
And what did she say?
Well, she said nothing, but I'm afraid that she will give him the money. I don't think she should, because, like,
you're still breaking the rules.
Yeah, we're still breaking the rules, and they were breaking the rules because they don't have good intentions. I mean, like, they had power in 2005 and 2006, and they tried to, like, get some bills were unconstitutional, and, like, the high courts didn't let it, and they were like, well, we have to get the judges, like, to ban abortion totally or shit like that.
Jeez. And what if they just gave money that went directly to helping the refugees? Has anyone done that? Has the U.S. done that? Or because there is a legitimate argument that I'm sure it's expensive for Poland to support all these refugees. Shouldn't the EU be helping out at least with that, or NATO, or I don't know, NATO, but somebody?
I agree. There should be, like, money that goes directly to helping the refugees.
Essentially, the rest of the world is just kind of going, like, I don't know, Poland, like, you deal with it, right? I mean, I guess technically we're accepting refugees. I don't even know. Are we accepting refugees from Ukraine in the United States, Cap?
I would imagine. It's COVID. We got to make sure everyone's tested. we got to make sure they're boosted.
COVID.
So probably no.
I think we've talked about this before, but I did see someone, I think Kaplan and I saw this on Twitter. Someone in New York tweeted out, they're like, the worst part about this whole thing, and they were the serious,
bomb shelters. Yeah.
Is that these bomb shelters in Ukraine are full of people, and only 37% have had the COVID vaccine.
That's the biggest problem.
Yeah.
Death by COVID.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
I agree about what you said, but I, for example, don't trust, like, the Polish government that they would spend the money that way. We got some money from the European Union when we needed some help with the COVID stuff. And I do remember that part of the money went on a campaign that was, I don't know, anti-abortion or something like that wasn't, like, connected with that.
Yeah. Do you think that's part of why the Polish government is doing this? I mean, it's a pretty good bargaining play.
It's a good PR move, really.
It's a good public relations move for the Polish government.
Right?
Yeah, to say, hey, look at us. We're the good guys now. So EU, give us all that money. We now deserve that money.
Yeah.
They actually did that. Like, they're just trying to seem like good guys. And I think it will work, that the polls will go up for them and they will rule longer.
And they now have more power within the European Union in terms of decision making and stuff like that?
No, I don't think they have more power, but it's like their respectability went up.
Yes, respectability.
Is there a word like that? Respectability.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Rep.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Kevin.
I was going to just say, for listeners who don't know, this is the same government who a few years ago they passed a law that basically made it illegal to say that Poland had any responsibility for the Holocaust. Right? Is that, do I have that right? So, like, you, it's like a free, like, you could go to jail, right? If you, which is one of these things, it's not a very European Union friendly or very. So that's,
is that still a law?
That's still a law, right?
I don't know. I remember something like that happening, but I don't know if they, like, didn't back up.
I know Europe and the U.S. and Israel, a lot of places were criticizing it, but I don't know if they changed
it. I plan on touring Poland next year, and I, for one, I think the jury's still out on if they had anything to do.
You should open with some Holocaust jokes are a great opener.
What about, I've read that 200, at least in the first 10 days of this war, 217,000 Ukrainians who live in Poland went actually into Ukraine to fight.
Dude, like, this is crazy, but it's actually harder to get an Uber today. Like, I'm not saying that it's
all the drivers, right? Is that what you're saying?
I'm not saying like, I'm not saying like, poor me, I can't get an Uber.
You are sacrificing. You got to drive drunk now because all the Ukrainians went to fight, right?
I don't want to sound like that, but it's actually harder to get an Uber because like most of them were driving Ubers and now they went fighting for their country.
Wow. Wow.
Which is impressive, kind of.
That is impressive. So
you should tip your Uber driver as well when you're in a year from now.
When they come back.
Yes.
That's great. So it has had an effect. I mean, you've seen it. Do you know anyone who's gone in?
No, not personally. One of my ex is a Ukrainian and she's kind of like scared for her family because her parents live in Odessa.
Yep.
Which wasn't attacked yet, but it will at one point. And her parents didn't want to move because, you know, they spent their whole life there and they have their home and stuff. And her brothers didn't make it in time to leave the country. So she's scared for her brothers that they would have to fight and stuff like that. So she's terrified of that situation.
Jeez.
Yeah.
So what's the relationship historically between Poland and Ukraine? Are you guys all, I know you said that with Russia, it's icy. You guys have been enemies. What about Poland and Ukraine? Have you been partners or enemies or how's that worked?
I think we're good. There were some incidents in history in the past. There was a group called Banderovcy and they were like extremist nationalists. And there was a situation where there was some kind of genocide on Polish people by Banderovcy. And like some people are like still thinking about it and talking about it. And like,
how long ago was this? Was it like right there?
I don't know, man. 80 years ago, maybe. Oh. It was a long time ago. And it's like most of the people don't care about it. But like nationalists care about it very much that they don't like Ukrainians because of that. Because they generalized, like it was a small group of people who was extremists and they were like, okay, all Ukrainians are bad and stuff like that.
And I guess there's a difference because Ukraine was part of the Soviet Union in a way. Poland was a communist country, right? But it wasn't actually technically part of the Soviet Union. So there was like a more independent.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And what is the government or like the news media in Poland approach this idea at all yet or started talking about the idea at all yet if Russia bombs or they say accidentally bombs Poland, what happens?
That's a good question, man. Like we don't know.
He's got a lot of spots right now.
Maybe more sanctions or I don't know, man.
I mean, has your government said, like, have they said, if they do this, we will do this or the world will do this? Or is that something people are talking about or not at all?
Well, there were talks about closing the sky over Ukraine, which is a crazy idea, I think. Like some people don't think about it, what that means. The Polish government was for it for a while. That there was this idea to close the sky over the Ukraine. What does it mean? No fly zone. That would mean that you would have to attack fly ships from Russia. Like it means
that's World War III, probably.
Yeah, that's World War III.
Wait, it would mean what? So explain that to me because I don't totally understand.
If a Russian,
the sky over the Ukraine, right? When you close a space in the air, it means you have to like. Check if there are like Russian planes going around, and if they go there, you have to shoot them down. So that's like
you have to enforce it. Like, if anybody flies, you got to shoot them down, and then obviously it would be a Russian flying and Russian planes down.
And I know I'm an idiot, but if Russians that are in the air are shooting down and killing you, why is it so controversial to shoot up and kill them?
Oh no, I mean it's like. That other countries should declare a no-fly zone. I mean, like Ukrainian probably declared a no-fly zone for Russians, like since they won. But I mean, like other countries.
Ah, so
if America declares it a no-fly zone, if we shoot them down, or if the NATO
so if America or Poland declares Ukraine a no-fly zone, it means that we now are sending our fighter jets to patrol to make sure.
Yeah. And some people want that, and they don't think about the consequences. But there was this idea to close a small part of the space like through the board, like along the border. That should be a small space that should be closed on the Ukrainian side and on the Polish side. Mm. So there won't be any bombings of our side. There was such an idea, but I'm also not sure if it's a good idea.
And that's just to protect, so that to make sure that no one's accidentally flying into Poland.
Yeah, because they actually, like, the Russians attacked a military base that was, I think it was yesterday, that was 15 kilometers from the Polish border.
I read that. Yeah. Yeah, right.
And they did that for probably political reasons, just to, you know, scare us or shit like that. Right.
Which is about, to show how close
about
15
miles for our dumb Americans.
No. 15 kilometers, 11 miles.
Is it? Oh, I'm a dumb American.
Yeah. 15 miles and kilometers are different, Cap.
I know. So I said 15 kilometers. Isn't that about 50 miles? No.
No. Oh,
it's about,
no.
I think it's 11 or 10 miles.
It's like 11 miles.
All right. Well, yeah, I'm for myself. Thank you.
Well, I didn't know what a no-fly zone was, so we're all on our own page here. Crazy. Okay, so that's kind of where we stand for now. What about with you personally? What's the stand-up scene like? I know the last time we did a Polish episode, it did very well, and we got a lot of hate mail.
That was one of our most hate mail podcasts ever.
Our most hated podcast by Polish listeners on YouTube.
Really? Why was that?
I think didn't like that they were right wing, I believe, right?
We called their government right wing, and they said we were wrong. And then our guest called it right wing, and we kind of agreed, and they said, we're not right wing, we're normal. You're the idiots. You guys are leftists.
We
just care.
We're talking with Peter back
yes,
then?
Peter Zamoyski, yeah.
Yeah, so they basically, Peter is not a political comedian, so he has like audiences from both sides.
Yeah,
I think you don't have to worry about my audience.
Well, this is kind of why we like doing this show, because I'm not a political comedian either, but no one in America, frankly, no one has a real side when you talk about another country's politics. They're just interested in the information. When it gets to American politics and probably Canadian, people have a faint understanding of Canadian politics, so they'll try to pick a side. But other than that, people are just interested. So we can talk about other countries' politics without being controversial in our own country.
Yeah.
But
and we like engagement, people. So if you want to leave us hate mail on our YouTube or anywhere else,
please do. We'll read it on the air.
Exactly.
What about your, so what's your, what does comedy look like for you? I know you're doing stand-up, but you've done improv in the past as well. Is that the case? Or do you both?
But in context of that situation right now, are you asking in a general?
Well, I mean, I guess in context of this situation, but also in general. But let's start with this situation. Are people, stand-up still happening, I would assume. There's no war in your country, right?
So basically, the first day days were kind of depressing for everybody, and I think less people are buying tickets to comedy shows because they don't think it's appropriate.
Okay.
So that also happened.
Interesting.
And when it comes to the topic of war, it's a very delicate topic because, as we all know, it's like this idea that comedy is tragedy plus time, and it's not. It's too soon.
There's no time. Yeah.
I can see that.
Yeah, I tried a bit of material about war just to test it out. It is a bit too soon, but I think it's a matter of like 2 weeks before it starts.
There we go. That's a real stand up. That's a real comic right there. Just give me 2 weeks. Give me 2 weeks, Putin. These jokes will work. And also, I could see it's one of those things where if you don't talk about it at all, that's kind of odd because it's such a part of your life. But if you do talk about it, it feels kind of soon. So I could see that being.
Yeah, it might be weird, but also there's another point of view that like not talking about it is good because people want to come to the comedy show to think about something else.
Escape. Yeah.
So that's another point of view.
Yeah.
But not on my shows.
Wait till those Brooklyn comedians tour so you're, Poland with their.
So you're yeah exactly the Brooklyn they should not tour Poland. I'll tell you. Those anti-Ukraine. They'll be talking about all the Nazis.
Yeah, they could tour Russia, I guess. But
yeah, they could tour Russia. They kill it in Russia. So your comedy is political comedy. How does that work for you? Do you find audiences get upset?
It's not totally political. Like, I had bits that are political, and it divides the audience. I have to like be aware of that. And I'm performing mostly in bigger cities, because like in small towns they don't get me. And if I talk about like some social or political issues, they have a different opinion about that. So I just feel comfortable in bigger cities.
Sure. Yeah, play to your
I'm not a road comedian.
Gotcha.
No Turner Sparks.
It's very funny how the dynamics of comedy that we have in America exist everywhere.
It sounds just like America, the way you described that.
I was going to say the exact same dynamics. So there's New York City comics who are left-wing, not as far left-wing as the people who now are supporting Putin, but just left-wing comics who won't work the road very much because exactly what you said, like people don't get them in certain states or territories or whatever. Or if they go to perform in, say, Nashville, they just only their audience comes out. So it's like a small group of people who kind of agree with them. And then there's the people who don't talk about politics, who do all like the can play wherever. It's interesting how that. And every country I've toured to has the same dynamic. In the big cities, they think one way, and in the rural, they think another way. And it's bizarre, frankly, to me
that it is.
We all have that same thing happening. I don't know if it's because the internet and because of, I don't know why it's ended up that way.
I also don't know why, but it seems like there is a division throughout the world, like because it's everywhere.
Cities
elite,
versus
non-elite, city versus rural. Yeah.
What about when you perform in English? Because I know you've come to New York and done shows in Malaysia and stuff like that. Go ahead. How does that go?
I love performing in English. I do believe that English is a more comedical language than Polish, because it's you get to the punchline faster.
Okay.
So
takes less words.
Yeah, like okay. I don't have like an example, but I do believe that you have like shorter words and it just takes less words to communicate something. And it's better for comedy because you can get to the punchline quicker. And when I want to say something in Polish, you know, I have to get rid of the fat, but sometimes it's hard because like the way the Polish language is structured.
Let me give you one of my jokes and then you can translate it to Polish and we'll see how long it takes. How about that?
Yeah, that's right.
For an example, let's do this. All right, let me think of what's one of my quicker jokes, Kaplan. Okay, here's one. Did you know? I'm learning about like pandemics throughout history. You know, do you know that the Black Plague is still around? It's just been around for so long that now it's just a cold. So I was on a flight the other day and I sneezed and this lady, she goes, "Oh my gosh, do you have coronavirus?" I said, "No, don't worry about it. It's just the Black Plague."
Not translate. No.
Hours. Basically it's totally translatable, but it would get a longer time to get to the punchline.
Like it would take a while.
I give you an example. There was one comedian I saw in a comedy cellar. I don't know which one. I'll probably spoil his joke, but whatever. He asked the audience, like he was telling the audience, "Okay, you tell me what you're drinking, and I'll tell you how you end up."
I think that's Jared Freed, maybe.
No, can I say who that was?
Yeah.
It was Dave Attell. And
Yeah. I know that bit. Yeah. It tells the best.
So he asks a guy and the guy says, "I'm drinking bourbon." And Attell said, "You're going to go home and swastika your car." So it's untranslatable into Polish. Like he made the, like, how do you say?
Especially with that new law.
He made swastika a verb.
Yeah, a verb. You cannot do that in Polish.
Yeah. Mm. You're going to swastika.
You're going to go.
He has one, his Jaeger one. I forget what he says about Jaeger. I've seen him do that bit before, though. It's fantastic.
Yeah, it's amazing.
He goes through every style of alcohol. Cool. All right, man. Well, thank you for doing the show.
Thank you.
Cesare Yurkiewicz. And people can find you on YouTube. We will put your name will be in the spelling of your name will be in the description of this show, so they can look you up very easily there.
Sure.
And, yeah, thanks, man. All the best. I guess the world thanks Poland for all they're doing for Ukraine.
We give you a collective peace prize to all of Poland right now.
So yes. Your government's going to win the Nobel Peace Prize.
You're going to get a piece to that, though, as a citizen.
You're not fascist. Your authoritarian president is going to win the Nobel Peace Prize. So get ready for that. That's next year. That's it.
And let us know when you're in New York. Come on. Come visit.
Yes. Let's hang out when you're in New York City.
Definitely. We should.
For sure. Kaplan, that's it. What should we do?
I guess it's time we get lost.
Get lost!
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.